Do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor? Neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You Mean Them, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Oh, my God, it's quiet in here. I love all of you. Jesus, if I was rich, I'd buy you drinks or food. The food here is delicious. Make me rich and I'll buy you shots. That's the rule of the day. So I decided I don't want to do the show tonight. So rather than doing the show, my name's Ellen. We're going to do the Ellen show. I'm Ellen DeGeneres. I'd like all of you to stand up and dance because I was too lazy to write material. That'd be fantastic. That's just mean. I shouldn't make fun of Ellen. She's very... That gentleman was about to do it. I didn't know it was that easy to make people dance. Thank you, sir. No. Maybe we'll try it again. I'm Ellen. Let's all watch some YouTube clips that your mother finds funny. That's what Ellen does. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about positive things. You're not supposed to talk about two things in a bar. That's politics and religion. Let's cover those now. The Vatican has... there's a new letter that has been outed. Ellen... callback about that says that the cardinals knew about the sexual abuse going on in the churches, and they said kind of ignore it. And that's apparently a big deal, even though everyone in their right mind already knew that. And I knew that because I went to Catholic school my entire life. And yep, clap for boy rape. It's fantastic. I went to Catholic school my whole life. Well, I was not raised Catholic. I was not baptized Catholic. I'm not one of these people that now hate Catholicism. I just don't care. I'm an indifferent person. My mom wanted to send me to Catholic school because she thought it would be great if I got an education from people that have never been encouraged to come in a loving situation. No, you have to come on a small child or just bottle it up and stay angry. This was the parenting that I went through. College. I went to a Catholic college. It meant nothing. No impact whatsoever. That's not a joke. I went to a Catholic high school. Fenwick, everybody. Google that. Fenwick. Yeah, Chicago. Did my giant Chicago Bears coat throw that? Nope. Okay. Yeah, I went to this high school called Fenwick. And we weren't that Catholic. It was just a normal high school experience, except every once in a while, like once every 2 weeks, there was Mass. And I figured out early on, if you're in the lighting crew, you don't have to go to Mass because the church couldn't hold all the students, so we had Mass in the auditorium. So I became part of lighting crew. What that means is I like Nirvana, and all the other boys like Nirvana. That's all that meant. Grade school. That's where it actually mattered. We went to Mass once a week, and I didn't have to participate because, you know, not Catholic. Except one time a year. We used to put on the Passion Play. The Passion Play... Thank you. That's the movie where the great filmmaker, Mel Gibson, decided he wanted to beat up a man on screen to make a shitload of money. That's what the Passion Play is. There's 15 steps, Stations of the Cross. That's what we did. And everyone had a role. And these roles were determined, like, who could fit in the Roman costume. All the girls played whores, by the way. Like, you were either Mary Magdalene or her friends. Like, that's just your role. It was great. It really sent the precedent for Catholic school and every Aerosmith video. I used to love Aerosmith. I used to listen to Eat the Rich before I went to Caddy, not connecting the fact that Steven Tyler's insanely rich, yet he's... Whatever. That's called a tangent, everybody. So we did the Passion Play. I didn't fit in a toga. I don't know. Whatever. I didn't. I didn't fit in a toga. I was too big to fit in a toga. I have a giant dick, so I couldn't fit in a toga. It's loose fitting. It was still tight. And that's too scandalous in Catholic school. Because I wasn't rapeable, because I wasn't an altar boy. So, Passion Play. There are three roles in the Passion Play if you aren't a soldier beating the shit out of another boy. Because we were all boys at this time. And those are the people hung on the cross. Of course I'm not going to be Jesus. There's no way in hell they're going to let me be Jesus. But they're more than fine letting me be one of the criminals hung next to Jesus. I was one of the criminals hung next to Jesus. So, not a lot of things are known about these two gentlemen, other than they're pieces of shit. So, I was a piece of shit, and the other piece of shit was one of two African-American gentlemen in our school. Yeah, so that's great. That's just setting a great precedent. It's diversity at its best. So, we go through the stations, blah, blah, blah. We do all the same things. We get beat even more than Jesus. Not a lot of people know that, but I got the shit kicked out of me. When you're told you gotta be hung next to Jesus, you were told what your costume is, and that's your underwear. You have to wear your underwear in front of a giant, giant church. Kelsey, did I ever tell you this story? Yeah, you didn't know any of this. Thanks, dude. I like this guy. We're going to be friends. Me and Ellen. What? So, I go through the Stations of the Cross. We're hung next to Jesus. I'm to Jesus' left, so I'm stage right. And I'm in my underwear. The African-American gentleman was smart enough to wear his basketball shorts. Of course he wore boxers. Like, that's a given. I was not smart enough to wear my basketball shorts. No, 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 no. I wore my boxers because, A, that proved I was awesome, and I had such a big dick, no briefs can handle that 14-year-old package. Look at me. You know what I'm holding here. So I'm on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. Jesus, by the way, at 14, he was ripped. He ended up getting drafted by the Yankees. Like, awesome dude. 6'6 and, like, 14. Looks like the most beautiful fucking Jim Caviezel Jesus you can imagine. I look like this. With, like, my Bears coat, but take that off, and I'm just sadly hanging there. And I'm, of course, Mary Magdalene and her whores, the girl I've loved forever in grade school, 5 feet in front of me. So I'm getting real hard. Because nothing makes you hard like 1,400 people staring at your about-to-be boner, not remembering, oh, shit, boxers have a little hole in them for no reason. Does anyone pee through? That's not even possible. The only way you can get through that hole is if you have a 14-year-old boner, which I did. So I'm squirming like this, and beads of sweat are dripping down from my armpit, which looks like LL Cool J in the Unplugged fucking session. It's just caked white, little white dick spurting out. And I get off the cross, and Mary Magdalene, her delightful whores, cover me in a sheet, who is the girl I like, who now I wake up every day and I look at my girlfriend. I'm so glad I'm not with her. She needs a nose job, and she married to a cop. It worked out for the best. Thank you, Catholic school, for doing that. Because she literally married, like, the guy in her hometown, because there's no one else in that three-mile radius. We were literally a 10-minute bus ride from the city, from Chicago. Like, you don't have to do that. It's okay if there's, like, a horse and buggy situation, but you could really fuck outside that circle. It's possible. Little hard dick standing there like this. I get off stage. I find out after the fact, I didn't repent. The criminal to the right of Jesus repents and goes to heaven. I am literally the only person in the church that is condemned to hell. And that was my Catholic school education. I paid $10,000 overall for grade school to be told I was going to hell. And if that existed, I would be very upset right now. But since there's no hell or God, let's keep the show going, shall we? All right. Thank you so much for showing up, everybody. We have amazing guests. We have author and all-around fantastic gentleman, Jeff Bogato. We have stand-up comedy from Pete Bladell. And we have music from The Bachelor and The Bad Actress, but possibly tonight just The Bachelor. Ian's on piano. Ian, will you play some walking music for me? Thank you for not leaving in those 5 seconds, everybody. I really appreciate it. Ian, you want to grab that microphone and we'll make connections right now. Ian, you are a musician by trade, which means you have a lot of days off. Do you ever watch The Ellen Show?
I don't wake up that early.
You don't wake up at 3 p.m. Eastern time to watch Ellen?
I thought Ellen was like at 10 or 11.
No, no, no.
That Regis hour.
You could have just said, no, I don't watch The Ellen Show. Do you watch Ellen any television during the day?
Yep.
Such as?
I'm a big fan of SVU.
So you watch primetime reruns.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like a piece of shit some days when you wake up and you watch, like, daytime television? Because I can't do it.
I feel a little bit like a soccer mom or a housewife.
Would you ever want to be a soccer mom or a housewife?
Maybe.
Do you like Vans?
The cars or the shoes?
Both.
Yes.
On both?
Yes.
I can't imagine you wearing Vans. You're too stylish to wear Vans.
Well, they don't have much of a heel. The heel always, and I stopped skating back.
You skate?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
Definitely, yeah.
What could you do?
I could do an ollie and a kickflip.
That's okay. That's not bad. Did you have a ramp?
No, but my nephews, I helped them build a ramp.
You help your nephews build a ramp. Did you ever see the movie Freddy Got Fingered?
No.
He builds a ramp, and then a bone is exposed, and he licks the bone.
that exists.
Rat Bones Brigade.
What does that mean?
It's like the early underground videos from the late 80s before skating was all mainstream.
I'm
passing
learning
around these VHS videos of dudes.
Is this like Gleaming the Cube era of skating?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. No one knows what that reference is, which means we should move the fuck on. All right, our first... Man, that was fantastic.
Anytime.
That wasn't fantastic. I just said that to keep the show moving, everybody. That's how talk shows work. Coming to the stage is an author and a very interesting man if you're from Washington, D.C., and hopefully the world. Coming to the stage, everybody. Jeff Bogato, everybody. Put your hands together for Jeff. This is your seat, Jeff. That microphone. You grab that. You steal that microphone like Abby Hoffman told us to. You're going to hold it. Hold the microphone. I'm going to be your priest. I'm going to shove this in your
what?
Face. Jeff, I've never seen a guest walk to the stage slower.
Well, you know, I was, you know.
Are you afraid of me?
No, you know, claiming the stage. You know.
You are, I got a lot to learn from you. So I asked Jeff to be on the show because he wrote this book called Mondo DC, and it was about the most interesting places in DC. And Jeff goes, I don't want to talk about that, and I will respect that. You are a writer.
Sort of, yeah.
You're holding a book with your name on the cover.
I'm holding another book with my name on the cover.
You're holding another book. What's this book called?
Well, this book is called Kill Claws. It's actually a novel that I wrote last year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I self-published it just like I self-published the Mondo DC.
How is self-publishing working?
Well, you know, this is, I don't know if people have heard of the on-demand,
on-demand
publishing scheme, you mm-hmm. know, where you... The way I did Mondo DC is I paid a fee and I, you know, they formatted the manuscript once I sent it to them. And then when they've got the book formatted, when somebody orders a copy, say from Amazon, they print the one copy mm-hmm. and mail it out to the person. And it looks like any other normal trade paperback. So it's a really cool thing. And, you know, I published a fanzine for years.
What was your fanzine about?
It was a music, mostly a music fanzine. And I started covering outsider art as well. I mean, I did that because I wanted to get free CDs and stuff. So.
And that's very easy to do.
Yeah,
if you want to get free CDs...
do a fanzine.
Do a fanzine. Fanzine, is that what started out the writing? Because everyone has to take creative writing
well,
on that jazz.
You know, I'd written for the Washington Post and the City Paper and stuff like that. So, I mean, the fanzine was just one thing that I did. And so I knew how it was to, like, pay for printing and
yeah.
all this stuff. And to do the on-demand publishing is an amazing deal. Because for one thing that saves you from is getting a box of 1,000 copies of whatever it is that you just made on
yeah.
your doorstep that then you have to figure out what the hell to do with.
Is it sometimes good to have that box? Is it sometimes good to go
no.
through all that rejection?
No. It's
I'm not saying you were rejected.
The rejection. Well, I mean, because
I've
like
been rejected.
With the fanzine, you know, the last couple of issues I did them as freebies and I took them around as
yeah.
away because I was like, well, it stinks to try to sell this because at least the magazine I had, it took like half an hour to explain to somebody what was going on in
yeah.
it. Like I had an interview with Vanilla Ice one time talking about, and it was all about, he had sent out a publicity photo where he was at this outsider art site in Florida, the Coral Castle. And I was like, well, I know what that is, what he's got, what the backdrop is.
Uh-huh.
It's this amazing place that this one guy carved out of this incredibly hard rock using tools that he made out of the parts of a Ford pickup truck or something. And so nobody really knows how this guy did this. And Vanilla Ice had all his publicity photos there because he lived nearby and he loved the place.
Oh.
So I called up the company the record company that sent me all the stuff, and they were like, oh, you know, they connected me with Vanilla Ice, and he was totally into talking about nothing but the Coral Castle. He loved the place and he knew everything about it, and he was a really nice guy. But so to tell somebody this whole thing, oh, this is why you should buy this magazine. You know, by that time, people are like, the hell
I think
it?
You sold it in 30 seconds. I think you're underestimating yourself.
It was a lot harder than that. But Mondo DC was pretty cool because I had done a lot of articles about different weird attractions for the Post and stuff. So I just kind of started compiling them and expanding them. And then I, you know, did a lot more research and put together the book.
Yeah. Well, Kill Claws is obviously historical fiction.
That's right. It's historical about an alternate sort of universe in which it's not Santa Claus, it's the Claus. He's actually more of an insect thing that attacks humans and then drags them back to the North Pole for some nefarious purpose that nobody knows.
So this is like the Santa Claus in the Netherlands.
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, it's like, yeah, Sinterklaas or the Krampus, yes. I guess. In Germany, they have the demon claws.
Who would have thought Germany would have evil Santa? Yeah. Everyone.
That is a surprise, isn't it?
So does all that outsider art, writing about that, doing the zine, doing the Mondo DC, does that help your fiction?
Well, you know, I suppose it does because, you know, the zine culture, you know, it predisposed me to self-publishing for one thing. You know, you realize how that works. And then, like, the outsider artist is very inspiring. Like, if you see somebody like Henry Darger's work and you realize that this guy has no education and he doesn't even consider himself an artist, and yet he's probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest artists that ever lived. He's just astonishing what he created. And then you realize, well, I mean, all it took was he had the cojones to just say, I can do this. I'm going
to
do this.
Do you have the cojones to do this?
Well, I did. I sat down and wrote this. And
this isn't the only book you've published.
Well,
besides this and Mondo DC.
I had a whole bunch of manuscripts. When I did Mondo DC, I had a whole bunch of manuscripts also, but I was afraid to, like, pay this massive fee to have them published. So then later I discovered that, like last year, I actually paid this other company that gave me a really good deal. They gave me two books for the price of one.
That's fantastic.
And it was half what I paid for Mondo DC. So I said, well, I got to do that.
Yeah.
So I took some old manuscripts, one of a poetry book that I had done, and I had a novel and a whole bunch of short stories, and so I did two books, and it took forever, and those guys were idiots, so...
The printers were idiots?
Yeah, the place I worked with, because, like, when I submitted my poetry manuscript, they sent it back to me after they formatted it, and it was all wrong. I think they had retyped it for poetry or something, because, you know, like, the first few pages, there was, like 20 errors or something. And I was like, they weren't in the original one.
That's not good. What's the name of that place so we advertise
Well,
them?
I don't know.
Well, they're awful people. We should say that so no one uses them.
I wouldn't
ever
recommend Ex Libris, that's for sure.
Ex Libris. They should all be homeless, the people that work at Ex Libris.
Because since then I discovered Lulu, and Lulu.com doesn't charge you any fees, but you just have to be able to make the PDF yourself. So if you have skills at doing a PDF and the software, then... And that's how I did this, so it doesn't cost you anything to do it up front, but... Then you have to pay for the copies and stuff like that.
Why do you do it?
I don't know. It's a fixation, I guess, you know, an obsession to write and to...
How long have you been writing?
I've always been a reader, so I've always wanted to be a writer, and so...
It'd be more fascinating if you were literate.
Well, yeah, I guess that would be more fascinating. It'd be like a monkey with a typewriter then, you know?
And then, like American Idol's
and
Fantasia.
And I thought of that. Wait a minute. I thought of this, Brandon, because I found a website that gives you random words, and they also have a set that gives you random sentences or random paragraphs. And at work, I started to compile this. I was like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a random book and then publish it on Lulu. It'll just be all random paragraphs. But after I had, like, a few pages, I got bored with that. I was like,
you can publish a pamphlet.
Work. I guess so, yeah.
Sir, are you clapping because he was bored? I don't know why he was either clapping because you stopped or you were bored. I can't tell.
He clapped because I stopped with that anecdote.
Because he stopped because of the boredom.
Yes.
Thank you. Please stay. You're fantastic.
It would have been a really boring book, I think.
What are you drinking?
This is the milk stout.
Do you like it?
It's very nice. I like a stout.
Yes. You don't have to explain why you clap.
Every
though
time.
It's very nice. I thank you for that. You're my market research, sir. Do you drink when you write?
I don't, no. Well, I drink tea. I drink jasmine tea when I write.
God, you're so responsible. You get things
done.
I'm
not Bukowski, so you know.
So you're not a piece of shit?
Well... I wouldn't say that Bukowski.
I did. Bukowski's a piece of shit, everybody.
That's Brandon's opinion.
They know it's my opinion, sir. Don't worry about that. What's the ultimate goal? If someone wanted to publish this, not on demand, would you sell it?
Oh, I would absolutely do it.
Why? Because it seems like this makes sense.
Well, because distribution and promotion is a problem. Because, I mean, it's on Amazon, and that's great. I mean, anybody can go to Amazon and find it. All the books that I've written and stuff, and that's, you know, that's a reward in itself. But, you know, it's in terms of getting into bookstores, telling the media about it, having the media take it seriously so then people can
find
out about it.
You've worked in media.
I have.
Doesn't that make it kind of pointless for a publisher?
Well...
Or does that limit you for just the places, like, you've been? Like, so D.C. is fine, but, like, in Pennsylvania it's a little bit harder type of thing?
Well, it's not. It's just that, I mean, you have a self-published book, so, you know... that doesn't mean that you're going to get a review of it or that, that radio is going to. I mean, I, you know, I had some connections with WAMU, and you know, the main connection I had left. I had been doing radio pieces based on Mondo DC with him, and then he had to leave, and then I sent them. Sent his replacement a book, and of course they didn't hear from him. So they weren't interested.
On
so
that positive note, you know, where can people find your book?
On Amazon.com.
On Amazon. Yeah. How would they do that?
Just search for my unspellable last name. Or they could search for Kill Claws. It's the only really the only thing there. Or if they search for Mondo DC, then they would find my name and they could go to my author page.
Fantastic.
It's great.
We're gonna end this interview with two questions that I did not
write. Good.
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Good. Pick one of these cards.
I
didn't
realize I
was
done so quickly. You know,
we've done 12 thus far. We do 15, and I got lots of jokes. Don't worry. What trip would you most like to take in your lifetime?
I'd like to go to Japan.
Why?
It's just a fascinating place, you know.
Have you been to Asia?
I've not.
Why?
You know, financial considerations. Time
you're not really
considerations.
Rich?
No.
I thought you were really rich. That's why I asked you on the show. I like rich people. I'm a dick. All right. I need you to pick a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. It's an awful, awful book. 1 to 260, sir.
173.
Fantastic.
That was a good number, huh?
This year we were retiring each question we ask. So I ripped the page out of the book. 173. If you were told you can give a 10-minute speech to your school on any subject you choose, would you want to do so?
Yes, that would be good.
What subject?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that, but there's so many subjects.
The answer is Peru. Talk about Peru.
Peru, that's
it's
a good,
fantastic
that's
in good. Peru oh, right yeah. now. It's probably warm.
Yeah.
They probably have Jets fever in Peru.
Yeah.
That's a current event joke. Jeff, I want to thank you for doing this.
Machu Picchu, that would be good.
Jeff Bogato.
Thank you, Brandon.
What's the website? Wait. Website. What's the website, sir?
Well, my website is panicresearch.com.
Fantastic.
All one word. So, all right. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you.
It's been interesting.
Are you having a good time?
What should I do with this mic?
You can hand it to me.
You want to take it over?
I'll take two mics. Like that Beck song. Never mind. I'll take the mic. Jeff Bogato, everybody. Please clap for Jeff.
Apparently, I'm going to do this intro standing because the mic. You guys have been fantastic. Just being quiet, I really appreciate that. That's not a joke. I really, really do. And I want to thank the Looking Glass. The Looking Glass are some of the best people in the country. They're not some of the best people in the world. They're like middling. But in the country, fantastic. Coming to the stage, one of the funniest people you will see in Washington, D.C., and he will probably move soon because he is that funny. Come in the stage, everybody. Please put your hands together for Pete Bladel, everybody. Pete Bladel.
Hey! Do, 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 do. Classy music. Thank you so much to Brandon for having me to the Looking Glass. No, don't go. We're going to miss your inconsiderate conversation. Keep it. Oh, man. Well,
that was a strong opener.
Yeah. Well, they're leaving. Like, it's not like they have to be on my side, so fuck it. All right, so we're right in the middle of basketball season right now. It's my favorite sport to watch on TV. However, whenever I'm watching the games and the commercials come on, I really can't help but wonder, is it just me or did USA and TNT get together and say, all right, guys, let's make a bet. Whoever can come up with the 10 shittiest original shows wins. Go. Because that's what it's starting to seem like to me. Is I'll be trying to watch a basketball game, and some commercial will come on that's like, coming this fall on TNT, that guy who used to date Taylor Swift is the Visionist. He was just an ordinary cable repairman, so he went to fix a line in a haunted house. Now he sees ghosts and he helps the police solve crimes. He's been paired with a sexy, no-nonsense female detective. Could romantic tension arise? Find out this fall on The Visionist. Only on TNT, we know drama. Yeah. Like, you can't just put, like, a noun and then the word ist after end of it and have a TV show. That's not how creativity works. What the fuck? But then I'll be trying to watch something else that's really sweet, like WWF Monday Night Raw, and another commercial that will come on that is somewhat similar. It'll be something like, coming this fall on USA, the token fat girl from that romantic comedy you just took your girlfriend to is head nurse. She's just a small town girl trying to make her way in one of the big city's biggest hospitals. Watch her learn about life, love, maybe save some people along the way. Plus, she can see ghosts and she helps the police solve crimes. TNT's just like, damn you. Damn you, USA. You took the ghost show and the cop show and the nurse show and you mixed them all together. We cannot beat that. You guys win. Congratulations. You win the bet. You now own the broadcasting rights to Tyler Perry's House of Pain. Way to go. It's kind of funny that Brandon was talking about shitty daytime television. For a while, after college, I was unemployed. I had a very hard time finding a job. But I actually really enjoyed it. Not because I didn't have to get up and go to work in the morning, but because I love watching Maury Povich. That show just makes me feel fantastic about my life. Because first of all, you have the people on there, and I thought this was common sense, apparently not. But guys, if your wife or girlfriend has a shocking confession, and she can't let you know what it is till you go on the Maury show, just get the hell out of there. Nothing good is going to come of that. There are only two possible outcomes there. Either A, she's had somebody else's dick inside her, or B, she has a dick. That's it. Those are the only two possibilities. No girl has ever gone on that show just like, oh, yes, Harley, I have a really shocking confession. I'm just going to come right out and say it. Bought a season tickets to the Wizards. Yeah! John Wall, crossing people up, doing the Dougie. You going to do the Dougie? I'm going to do the Dougie. All right, fun times. Because even if she did that, she would still say something like, plus, I gave your brother Dennis a blowjob behind a Hardee's. I'm sorry. This really just seemed like the only and best way to tell you. However, nothing beats the craziest show on television, Fox News. Now, before I go any further, here's my personal take on Fox News. Politically, I am not liberal at all, but there are some people that really take pride in the fact that they hate Fox News. They should kind of show it off a little bit too much. Like, I don't watch that garbage. I'm intelligent. I read the New York Times. Meh. Take it way too seriously. But for me, it's ridiculous because it's crazy to see how much has changed over the years. Because back when George Bush was in office, their whole thing was, hey, you have to support the president. I don't care if you don't like his policies. He is our president. We are at war. If you don't like it, you can get out. But now, ever since Barack Obama got elected, all Fox News is just 24 hours of dudes screaming at each other, man, fuck this black guy. This is bullshit, okay? Bullshit. Barack Hussein Obama. Let me say that name again, old white people, in case you weren't scared enough the first time. Barack Hussein Obama is trying to turn this country into France, or worse, Canada. And this is not Canada, my friends. This is the United States of America, sponsored by Jesus and McDonald's. Love it or leave it. Right? You know. But I'm no longer unemployed, and I do have a job. One thing I've noticed about having a really shitty job is the way it really negatively impacts the way you interact with the rest of the world. Here's a little gem of a story from last week. I was leaving my house to go to work. Now, my house is right next to an elementary school bus stop. So as I'm backing out of the driveway, I kind of lean my head out the window to make sure the coast is clear. And I see this kid just sitting on his bike right in the middle of my driveway. And without even thinking about it, just my base gut reaction, I screamed out, hey, you want to get your bike out of the fucking driveway? To an 8-year-old. That is so awful. I immediately realized what I did, rolled up the windows, drove off, and I was like, I just feel awful because I have ruined the innocence of these poor kids. Now, I didn't ruin their innocence by cursing in front of them because I'm sure they hear worse at school all the time. I ruined their innocence by cursing at them. Do you guys see the difference there? Because by cursing at them, it was kind of my own personal way of saying, hey, kids, enjoy being young while it lasts. Because when you get older, you have to go to work. And you're going to hate it so much, it's going to make you want to tell small children to go fuck themselves. So I drove away, driving to work, still feeling really bad about the whole thing. That was until I had a pretty amazing realization. I realized, wait a second. Fuck that little asshole. Was he serious with that shit? I'm pretty sure the first thing you learn when you're a kid is don't get hit by a car. Isn't that the big lesson they're supposed to teach you? And it's not like he had a lot going on in his life and it just kind of slipped his mind. Because when you're that age, you don't have stress. Your life is so unbelievably simple. There is no third grader coming home from school like, Jesus Christ, teacher is up my ass this week. I have 5 finger painting projects due by Friday. You know what else I have to do? I have to build a birdhouse out of popsicle sticks. Do you know how to build a birdhouse, Mom? Because I sure as shit don't. Where the fuck am I supposed to find that many popsicle sticks, huh? Jeez. You know, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to yell. I've just had a really rough day. I need a drink. Can somebody please get me my juice box? Wait, what do you mean you don't have any juice boxes? I told you this morning to go to the store and get the juice boxes, and now there are no juice boxes in the house. I'm having the worst day of my life. I'm completely losing my mind. And will somebody shut that fucking dog up? Yeah, that never happens, okay? When you're a kid, it's just don't drink poison, don't get molested, and stay out of the driveway because you're probably going to get hit by a fucking car. Like, smarten up, man. So that day started off pretty shitty, but I saw something later that day at work that kind of lifted my spirits. It really made me realize how large and awesome the world is. There are just so many parts of it that you don't even know exist until they get brought to your attention. I'll leave you guys with this little story here. When I got to work, I was really hungry, so I wanted to get something to eat. So I went to the vending machine and purchased this thing called a Big Texas Cinnamon Roll. And I grabbed it out of the vending machine, and I looked at it, and emblazoned in big, bold letters on the wrapper, it said, 5 years in a row, Automated Vendor Magazine, Reader's Choice, Pastry of the Year. And everything that goes into that statement, it just came at me in waves. Like, first of all, that means there is such a thing as Automated Vendor Magazine, a magazine dedicated solely to vending machines. 2, they have a loyal reader base that is willing to vote in Reader's Choice Awards about their favorite things from vending machines. But that's not even the craziest part about that. Craziest part is, you know that the Big Texas Cinnamon Roll Corporation takes that shit way too seriously. Or else they wouldn't put it on their wrapper. Like, I want to know what it was like at their office. What happened when they found out they won that 5th title? Because I just have this image in my head of all these buttoned up white collar dudes saying and doing things that make no sense, just completely losing their mind, running around like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker, 5 years in a row, Dynasty, baby, it's The Rock, yeah. You cannot fuck with Big Texas Cinnamon Roll, man, let me tell you something, all right? We are going out tonight, we're celebrating this shit so hard, I'm going crazy. I'm gonna do lines of blow off of Little Debbie's tits. Me and the boys from accounting, we're going to run a train on Sara Lee. Shit is popping off tonight at Big Texas Cinnamon Roll, man. And then meanwhile, across town, the people at Honey Bun are just like, son of a bitch! Why can't we win? Ever? All right, you know what? That's it. Plan B, just start baking crack directly into the Honey Buns. As God is my witness, we will be Automated Vendor Magazine Reader's Choice Pastry of the Year in 2011. And I'm going to make Aunt Jemima my bitch. All right, that's it for me, everybody. Thank you very much.
Pete Bladel, everybody. Fantastic. Thank you, Ian. That was goddamn gorgeous. So, does TNT really know drama?
I don't know enough TNT to know the answer to that question.
While you were making your funnies, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 different shows that could go on TNT. The Jurist, the Judges, the Doctorist, the Nurses, the Plagiarist, the Hackist, the Banditsists, the Authorists,
The comic is just the drill sergeantist and the priestess.
Some of those are actually shows, not the titles, but it's like, hey, this is our show about a nurse. This is our show about juries. Like, isn't this amazing?
Is it amazing?
No.
What's your favorite basketball team?
Oh, man. I don't follow pro basketball that intensely.
You don't believe that players should get paid. You believe in the indentured servitude of college sports.
I am more of a college sports fan than anything else.
Where are you from?
I'm from Loudoun County originally, but I live in Arlington now.
Okay, so nearby.
Yeah.
So you had nothing growing up.
Well,
the Bullets and the Wizards.
Yeah, I mean, my family's from New York, so I do follow New York teams. So Yankees and Giants. And
so you believe in money?
Yes.
But you root for college.
Money and championships.
Interesting. Really? Championships?
What? I just find... Yeah.
The Knicks? Really? Okay.
Well, the Yankees. The Giants.
That's not a team. That's just a corporation with money. No one cares about the Yankees. It's...
Legacy.
Legacy of what?
Winning. And let's talk about college, because I find... College is just really interesting to me because I played sports in college, and it's
you did?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to UVA. I played football.
You played football in a Division I school?
Yeah, I was a walk-on, though, so I wasn't that sweet.
That's awesome. You're like Rudy.
I used to be about 50 pounds fatter, and then I graduated and lost all the weight.
Were you tight end?
Defensive end.
Ah, okay. By the way, we're gay, and we're going to suck each other off while you watch this interview. That's going to be hard to do since we're talking in microphones. Did you play all 4 years?
Well, my first 2 years, I went to Christopher Newport down in Newport News, and then I transferred to UVA and walked on. I didn't play when I was there because, again, I was a walk-on.
Yeah.
Our starting defensive end was selected number 2 overall in the NFL draft.
Who was that?
Chris Long.
Where is he in now?
He's St. Louis.
So he's essentially playing for community college again.
Kind of. I mean, hey, they had that one big game against the Seahawks a couple weeks ago.
They were 60 minutes away from actually doing something.
Yeah.
For the first time in 11 years.
I know.
We're talking way too much about sports. I apologize. Yeah.
You guys want to talk about the greatest show on turf? 99 Rams. All right.
God. He's right. They were doing last night on SportsCenter, they were doing the top 10 countdown of the greatest comebacks, and I think it was like number 3.
Oh, really?
That game against the Buccaneers.
Nice.
Wow, that no one gives a fuck about that. I'm so sorry, crowd. Do you talk to any of the athletes that you used to play with?
I'll run into them when I go back down for games, and I was down for homecoming, saw a bunch of guys. Like, just see them out at the bar, kind of talk to them, like, say what's up.
The way you're talking makes everyone at home think you're a rapist.
Really?
You know that, right? Just when I go down to homecoming, I'm like 40.
What?
No, that's not true. You're not 40. How old are you?
24.
When did you start doing comedy?
2 years ago.
So after the football?
Yes, after I graduated college.
Smart man. So Do any of them know that you're a comic?
Yeah, a good amount of them know. Some of them actually have come out to my shows in the past, which is cool.
Wow, that's a weird crowd. Yeah. Comedy crowd does not look like athletes. No. We're the people that were beating the shit out of them athletes.
They enjoy having a good time and a good laugh, so I guess
they do. They like Miller Lite. They like that new Vortex bottle. What do you think of that new Vortex bottle?
I don't understand. Like, it goes in my mouth no matter what.
Hurry up! That's the whole point of that bottle. By the way, if you don't drink Miller Lite or Bud Light, you're a faggot, according to the television. I'm learning.
Well, no, if you drink Miller Lite, you're more of a faggot. Because, you've seen the commercials. Like, you want a light beer, you want something real with real taste.
You were on a Division I football team. That makes it a hate crime. When you said it, it was a joke when I said it. Maury, you're forgetting two very important parts about Maury.
Yeah.
Fears.
Mm-hmm.
Maury's fear shows are fantastic. My favorite.
I'm afraid of pickles.
Of all, yeah, pickles is great. Cotton balls. Someone was afraid of cotton balls. They had a cotton ball man come out and scare the fuck out of her. Brilliant. Brilliant television. I don't care. That's theater, man. That's Dolly-type theater.
Yeah.
And makeovers.
Yeah.
What about the makeover?
I think you're forgetting paternity tests. That's really the staple of the
You talked about that. You talked about the paternity.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
But,
yeah,
no, but mostly just about like shocking confessions, like I'm cheating.
Yeah,
I guess paternity falls into that.
Yeah, it falls into that. That's a loose cannon. Only 90% of Maury's programming.
Exactly.
Here's a Chicago fact that no one cares about. Roberto Garza, left guard for the Chicago Bears, has his own line of cinnamon rolls.
Really?
In Chicago only, which I think would go hand-to-hand with the Texas Cinnabon. What's your ultimate goal? You're funny enough to do this. Are you going to move?
Yes.
Where?
New York.
Why New York and not L.A.?
Well, I have... Mostly because it's closer, and in case my life completely falls to shambles, I can easily move back to D.C. in my parents' basement. But,
do you live with your parents now?
No, I live on my own. I have a day job. And
what's your day job?
I work for a consulting company.
How much money do you make a year?
Enough.
Are you single?
Yes.
What's your social security number?
I can't say that.
Why?
I don't remember. Wink!
Yo, deal. Stay unsuccessful, okay? Yeah. Say you get, that's the key to success. No one's realized that. You give me your social security number, you're huge the next day online.
No, but ultimate goal is to be able to do comedy for a living.
You're not bad. Keep it up, buddy.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
We're closing this interview with two questions. Pick one of these. Fantastic. Give me that, God damn it. You athlete who will rape me. Which band would you like?
I don't do that.
You don't do that anymore because you're no longer Division One. Walk on. You're not even a good rapist.
Whatever, man. Don't have. We have things at UVA called Jersey Chasers. All right, like you don't really.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They call them. They go to the athlete bars and kind of hang out. And
did you ever take advantage of that?
You know.
Name one of their names.
I can't do that
because you don't remember. You never got it.
I don't want to do that.
Because I'm sure they're listening to podcasts.
Yeah,
Jersey Chasers are known for their love of comedy podcasts.
I feel like it's just karma. I don't want it to come back around or something like that.
Which band would you like to tour with for a month?
Wow. Wow. That's a really good question.
Is it
you mean just like in terms of hanging out or just like being able to see their show live every night?
Yeah.
Probably.
How do people get hung up on this? Really?
Arcade Fire. I saw them at Lollapalooza and they were absurd. So I would like to see them as many
times
as
possible.
That's the
most boring tour possible.
I'm sorry.
A lot of smelly Canadians.
There's like
Canadians.
20 of them. Like,
yeah,
so many different people
boring
to hang out with.
Yeah, and one of them has a poetry master's from Northwestern. That's exciting. Fuck the suburbs. Okay, now we're going to close this. That was a callback to the Arcade Fire's album, The Suburbs. The only guy in this board that likes me right now is this guy. To my right. He thinks he's getting a drink.
I like how he's enthusiastic for everything. It's like,
yeah, I love
it's like pick a number, 173. All right!
Yeah!
Best number ever!
You think I'm not making fun of him. I'm not joking. Like, I want this on everything.
No, we appreciate.
I think I want to
enthusiasm
marry
is appreciated. We can't because we love.
Now he doesn't like his show anymore. Oh,
you fucked up, man.
I did fuck up. Okay, pick a question from the kids. Pick a question, 1 to 260.
132.
132. Why 132?
I don't know. Just the first number that came to mind.
Fantastic. Okay, 132. What kinds of teasing do you think you would miss most if everyone decided to never tease you again?
You know, sometimes I have friends, because I listen to indie bands and tend to wear flannel from time to time, they tease me for being a hipster, and it's kind of funny to me in a way. I don't know. I guess I would miss that.
You've had a really good life, haven't you?
I've led a pretty charm life. So.
You don't lead a comics life, let's
be
honest.
I've been teased before, but I wouldn't miss
You don't need like my indie bands.
Yeah.
I'm a 6'4 college football player with no blanket acne, no weight problem. Yeah, I get teased a lot.
Well, when I was younger, I used to be really skinny, but I still had this very large head.
Oh, my God, I was really skinny?
No, but I had a very large head, and I it was very disproportionate
and
to my body.
Classic good looks? Yeah, life was hard.
No, people call me the human Pez dispenser.
What nice suburb are you from?
Ashburn, Virginia.
There it is, everybody. Where can people find you online?
Twitter, Facebook.
But how? What's your name?
Pete Bladel. Just search for me on Twitter, Facebook. I used to have a blog that I don't really update anymore.
Why would you plug that then?
Because there's some like interesting stuff on there people might be able to check out.
God!
What?
You are a comic, but you have no idea how the fuck to promote.
That's I'm sorry. I don't really have a whole lot to promote, I guess, at the moment, other than like open mics and local shows. I'm sorry. Come to the Arlington Draft House on Saturday nights. That's where I mostly am.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
Why would you? Yes.
Well, you just said, where can people find you on the internet? They didn't say, hey, what shows are sweet that you're on? So I decided.
You should know what shows you're on that are sweet.
The Arlington Draft House on Saturday nights, the showcase in the lobby, also the shows in the main room. I hosted for Bobcat Goldthwait this weekend, which was
a sweet fantastic
experience. But,
no joke, Bobcat's amazing. He's not what you think he's not what he used to be. He's like a really smart comic. No joke.
Yeah. No, he still does the voice a little bit, but
yeah.
It's not like. But talking to him just like one on one is awesome because he's so soft spoken but so intelligent. Talking about his movies and stuff
and
that he's made.
He had one of the best movies last year, Father of the Year with Robin Williams.
I think it was World's Greatest
Dad. World's Greatest Dad. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. World's Greatest Dad. Fantastic. Super dark.
Yeah.
Super dark.
It's on streaming
so
Netflix
good.
If you're too lazy to go rent it or buy it. So check it out.
Thanks, opener for Bobcat Goldthwait. Now leave the stage. Pete Bladel, everybody.
Thank you very much
Pete
for having
Bladel.
Me. Thank you, everybody.
Ian, I love you so goddamn much.
yeah. I'm the musical act, so I have to sing along with Ian.
Who is the listener listening to right now? Your name. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Joe Harris, Joe P. Harris.
Joe came in here tonight, and he introduced himself to me. And he goes,
I was like, I'm Joe. And he's like,
who the fuck are you? You're on the bill. And you're like, oh, I'm the band. I'm like, oh, God,
the Bachelor.
Thank God.
The Bachelor or the Bad Actress. The bad actress can't be here tonight.
Because she's dead. That's a very bad...
I think she's acting, but she's bad at
it. She's a bad actress. Oh, that's a shitty pun. Good thing you play music. Okay.
I know Pizza. That guy's funny. He's a tough act to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't try. Just be yourself.
I'm just going to... Exactly.
Don't...
Exactly.
Ian's got the jokes. He's already burping just for fun.
That was good.
He's a fantastic burper. You guys know each other. You and Ian know each other. He doesn't have a mic, so tell me a one-sided story about Ian that he can't refute.
He is a classy guy. How about that?
No
he
one
is a classy guy.
That.
That's a sentence right there.
No one wants to hear that.
Except for Ian.
Yeah. Even Ian doesn't want to hear that. What makes you want to play music? Honestly.
That's a good question.
I hope so.
I just started doing it. Now I can't stop. Kind of one of those things.
God damn it. Okay.
It's true.
Next question.
Try it.
Where is the bad actress, honestly? She's sick?
She is.
What's wrong with her?
Flu, you know.
Flu-ish symptoms?
Exactly.
Or the flu, period?
Well, I guess they kind of go hand in hand.
Don't
flu
they?
With flu, yeah.
So. Are you a doctor?
Uh-uh.
So do you really think you should be diagnosing your bandmate?
She's diagnosed. She's self-diagnosed. She read it on the internet, you know.
The WebMD.
What's that?
The WebMD.
Yeah, exactly.
How long have you been playing?
About 4 years. Not very long.
Yeah, yeah. How old are you?
I'm 41.
You could. Are you really 41?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
you don't look 41.
I know, it's true.
So it's all cocaine and whiskey.
People out there in the radio land can't tell that. But
yeah, you're a good-looking dude.
Thank you.
How did you do that?
Earlier, you said you were gay.
Oh, yeah, I'll blow you. Whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, Kelsey's cool with it. You're rich, right?
No.
Then I'm not blowing you. Why you started playing guitar at 37?
I would say my mid-30s, so maybe a little more. I didn't really time it well, like 5-6 years, something like that. Maybe that's more accurate.
But even so, like...
But I haven't been really performing for maybe about 3 or 4.
What made you want to do this?
Well, it all has something to do with a girl, and we were making movies.
What's her name?
We're Andy.
Andy? Are you still with Andy?
No.
Okay, what's Andy's last name?
Wass.
Andy Wass, W-O-S-S or W-A-S-S?
W-A-S-S.
And she's on Facebook.
Yeah, you can check
A-N-D-Y.
A-N-D-Y, exactly.
A-N-D-Y-W-A-S-S.
Yeah.
She's on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she's what kind of a person? Good person, bad
person?
She's
awesome, yeah.
You sure about that? Because you're not together anymore, right?
No.
What ended that relationship?
It actually ended. The first song I'm going to sing is about the ending of that
relationship. So she's cool with you talking about this?
Yeah, it was on stage. We actually had a little musical act together, and there was a band that we that opened up for us. That I was on bad terms with.
And then she blew everyone in that band, and then you broke up.
No, their name was Vox Pop, and so I thanked them as Vox Poop, because I didn't really like them that much.
Got it.
Very, very minor joke, but it blew into this fucking huge thing. Do you remember that band? Remember that Vox Pop?
Are they
you
still
know,
around?
You know who's in that, right? Yeah. Jess? I was like, fucking Vox Poop, man. Thanks a lot. And
you know, when
like,
the host is bored, the listener's bored.
What's that?
What? Okay, so...
Were you even here? Are you even here?
Vox Poop, are they still around?
Vox Poop is not around in any form, as pop or poop.
Do you hate those people personally?
I like the guy in it and the rest of the band. It was this, this woman, Jess. I don't know, I'm not a big fan. She's kind of set in the musical scene here, though.
Jess, what's her last name?
What is it? Jessica Louise Dye. Jessica Louise Dye. She's one of those
hipsters.
She's
definitely on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. She's on Facebook.
Jessica Louise Dye. D-Y-E?
D-I-E. D-Y-E.
D-Y-E. Like, I'm going to dye this T-shirt.
Exactly.
Psychedelic colors.
Yeah, she and I have had a strained relationship.
So Jessica Dye, who's on Facebook.
Yeah. And her band right now is called Lightfoot.
Lightfoot.
I can't believe I just gave a plug for her.
You know what?
Sakes.
This is not ironic. I actually asked Lightfoot, not joking, to play in February, like an hour before.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad. They're okay.
But you hate her.
I don't hate her.
And there should definitely be an internet.
We don't get along if we were to be.
To you, she's like musical aids to you, right? Like, she's the worst.
Well, yeah.
She's like destroying whole continents right now with her music.
She's got some good. She's got some good songs.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, she's got a good voice, too. She's got a great voice.
She's got a great voice, but you're not so sure about those songs.
Well, you know.
So you got a lot of hatred in you, right?
Well, hatred is a perhaps misplaced word.
How do you like those blue eyes you have? How are they working out?
They change green every now and then.
Ooh, that's
pretty. I know, it's freaky, isn't it?
Let's talk about more people you hate. So you played with Vox Poop. Not a fan.
I know, Vox Poop. Wasn't that that's kind of funny.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Be a comic. What else? Who else do you not like in terms of music? People we know are preferred. Preferably people in the room. Let's make it awkward.
I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow. Controversial statements.
Yeah. Some people like her.
Yeah, it's really good to make fun of musicians 23 years your minor. You seem like a real man
right,
when you
exactly.
do that. Yeah.
Well, at least I haven't dated her yet.
How is that an insult? Yeah, I get to fuck a millionaire and she buys dinner. What's the problem?
Oh, she would write a song about me.
Yeah, and then you'd be famous and rich.
No.
What do you think about the music of Rich and Big?
I don't know who that is.
I think I can get the band name wrong. Let's just stare in each other's eyes. Big and Rich? Big and Rich? Big and Rich. Thank you, Hick. All right. Rich and Big?
I don't know who
you
that is.
You got a lot of hatred. I was watching you during the show. You got a lot of hatred in your
eyes. Jeez, man. Look, I'm trying to open up to you right now. Look at that. The body language.
No, you just feel kind of because you're on the mic finally.
Whatever. No, I'm working with you.
Mic.
Whatever. I'm working with you.
You're working against me.
Okay,
I'm
fine.
A big
Do you want me to pick a card or not?
My favorite band is Vox Pop.
Yeah.
It's my favorite band. And you didn't know that. And we didn't do a pre-interview, and now I feel like you've hurt me personally.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I love Vox Pop.
Vox Pop's not around anymore, though.
That's why I'm mourning.
Yeah.
And now I have to listen to Taylor Swift, and you ruined my second favorite band ever, which is Taylor Swift's touring band.
Yeah, she's great.
Not a fan of her. I love her touring band. They're great. I love 48-year-old touring musicians with an 18-year-old. That's my fucking wheelhouse. Now pick a card.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Oh, you think what's you know what's going to happen?
Yeah, I've seen it, right? Have you ever had a psychic or out-of-body experience?
Have you ever had a psychic or out-of-body experience?
Once on mushrooms.
Once on mushrooms. What happened?
I collapsed, and I actually saw my body on the ground from the ceiling.
How old were you?
College.
Where'd you go to college?
St. Joseph's University.
Where's that?
Philadelphia.
How was Philly?
Yeah.
Was it Motown back then? Was Boyz II Men just living everywhere, and occasionally the Fresh Prince would trick them to play his nephew's christening? Is that what happened?
The Fresh Prince was around at that time. He was just breaking it big.
He was breaking it big.
Yeah.
Did you see Ian? Ian's like jamming to nothing. He's literally like, he's jamming on the ones to nothing. Do you have that queued up, by the way? Jamming on the ones. All right, pick a question from the book, blah, 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 1 to 260.
173.
Why 173? That's been taking to get 176. 176.
176 is fine.
Would you rather have more brothers and sisters than you have now or fewer? What do you think is the best size for a family? Why?
So wait, can you repeat the question one more time?
Isn't this an awful worded question? It's for children. What would you rather have more brothers and sisters than you have now or fewer? What do you think is the best size for a family? Why?
I guess, you know, I would not want to have, if I understand the question correctly.
No one does.
Exactly.
No one does.
I don't think it would be better to have any more or less sisters. I got one sister. That's it.
Is she a cool lady?
She is awesome. She is an awesome lady.
Does she make musical aids like Vox Pop?
No, she doesn't. Her husband does, though.
Her husband? What's his social security number?
I think he doesn't have one.
He doesn't have one?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's depressing. Thanks for doing this.
No problem, man.
Do you still want to play after this wonderful interview?
Sure.
Fantastic. All right. Ian's going to play some music. Please, everybody, stick around and clap for Joe. The Bachelor will play quite soon. coming to the stage. The Bachelor. From the hit television show, The Bachelor.
The Bachelorist. So, I thought I was, if you just give me a chance, Brandon, I'll warm up to you, that's all. Now, I was going to start with Vox Pop, we were just talking about it, but... But I think I'm going to do this one where it's about suicide. It's about an attempted suicide. I sometimes like to open it with it if I feel like I'm dying on stage, so you know what to do.
Wait, is this about your attempted suicide?
Well, you'll have to just use your imagination.
Is it because you don't believe in follow-through?
Sometimes you change your mind, you know?
So you're saying you're a man with no convictions, you're not even strong enough to kill
sometimes
yourself.
Sometimes you change your mind, you got to be flexible, that's all.
Fair enough.
All right. Turn on my vocal a little more in case you decide to get on. All right. So, yeah, this one's called Are You There, 911? It's me, Joe P. Well, I've got that kind of loneliness, oh, that looks good in the mirror when my wrist is open in the afternoon sun. And I've got you on the phone, you're saying, hold on, hold on, we're sending someone to your home right away. So stay with me a while, yeah, now chat with me a while. Help me to stay on the line, 'cause I don't wanna die today. I don't wanna die today. I don't wanna die. I don't wanna die, no. I don't wanna die. Today, so stay with me a while. Oh, yeah, chat with me a while. Tell me everything's gonna be okay. 'Cause I don't wanna die today. Thanks. So you can change your mind, you know. All I saw you do is change your mind. This one's called Vox Pop. I was going to open up with this one, but I felt maybe I was dying here on stage. So, can I have my vocals up a little? Testing, testing. How was the balance on that, by the way? It was all right? Like it matters, right?
Voice of the people, ready?
Voice of the people, Vox Pop. Just for all those people that need that figured out. Well, the voice of the people cried out for me. I thought they loved me, but they hated me. I used to be a star on the stage and screen. I wrote the songs that made the whole world sing. And then I did one thing. One lousy thing, but I did it, that's right. Well, now the video went viral, seemed everybody knew my picture in the paper, man, that was nothing new. But the caption it read, enemy number one, well, they might as well shot me with 21 guns. Yeah, the voice of the people cried out for me. Well, I could hear the hammers ringing, one, two, three, they were getting ready, fixing to the United States against Joseph P. Couldn't find my friends, not one, two, three. Then the gavel came down. All right, four, five, six. That's right, that's how that works. Well, in my cell I started writing one last song. Oh, the birds on the square were singing along, and the clinking of the keys and the slamming of the door was a perfect click track to a perfect score. It was a sad song, a slow, sad waltz song. It had love and a lesson and a full-blown choir. Oh, the clouds cleared up and the sun shone brighter, and couples started dancing. One, two, crowd started crying and singing along like they'd known the words their whole lives long. That's right. Well, now the voice of the people cried out for me. What once was hate soon turned to
president called and the cameras appeared. Was a popular pardon that election year. Yeah, the voice of the people cried out for me. That's right. I said the voice of the people saved Joseph P.
That's a little song about that incident. How many more? A few more?
Yeah, keep playing. You're really good. Way better than your interview. Just fantastic.
I know. All right, so any single moms out there? Aside from you? Somebody always says that, and I figured you would.
It's not. No, I wouldn't say that because it's not funny.
I know, that's what I think, but somebody, always some guy says...
But you assumed it was me.
I would assume that you would.
Yeah.
You're not that funny. That's why.
I understand that. I never said I was.
Anyway,
I'm funnier than you,
yeah,
but
times,
I'm not
at
funny.
At times.
Which means you're very low on the funny scale.
All right. So it's called Single Mom Love Song. I don't mind if you are divorced. It means someone thought well of you at one time. And one time ain't so bad. No, sister, you are doing just fine. Yeah, trust me, you're doing quite well. And I don't mind if you have got a kid. I likes me a well-rounded woman. A woman who knows how a boy grows into a man. And here stands a man whose only plan is to love you for the rest of our lives. But is that enough for you and your son? 'Cause I ain't got no other plan. No, I ain't got no other plan. No, I ain't got no other plan. It's a short one. Hold on for a second now. No single moms who could, like, identify to that. I guess we could all identify with money and bringing up a baby. Maybe we can't. All right, how about... That's okay. Speaking of money, all right. This one's called, how many people like American history here? This guy... He is good. You and I can at least agree on that, man. That guy's gold. That guy's gold for sure.
Joe, you know I actually like you, right?
I know.
That's a lie. I hate you.
Anyway, so back in the day when we were building the railroads, we had Chinese labor in here, and we called them coolies. And this guy laughs over there. We called them coolies. He's like, ah! And so, but the thing about it is that the times are changing. And how about that? Nice little musical joke. And we're the coolies now. And that's not so funny, is it? And I guess this song is sort of imagining what the tables reversed and that we're going over there to help them build their railroads and their highways. Because anyway, it's called American Coolie. Chinaman, I've got my hat in my hands, yeah. Won't you let me build your highway? Well, I left the San Francisco Bay to live the China way. And now I'm saving my money every day. Gonna open up a genuine all-American diner in upscale downtown Beijing. All right, Chinaman, whoa. Chinaman, I've got my hat in my hands. Well, I guess I'm what you call the new American emigre, working on the South China Highway, and I'm saving my money every day. Gonna open up a genuine all-American diner in upscale downtown Beijing. Hey, Chinaman, whoa, Chinaman, I've got my hat in my hands. Gonna open up a genuine all-American diner in upscale downtown Beijing. Serving cheeseburgers and french fries and an ice-cold Coca-Cola in upscale downtown So get ready to move over there. We got some work to do. You and I can open up a restaurant together.
Okay.
No?
Okay.
Hold on, I got a few more now.
Are you going to hurt me after the show?
No.
Good.
Actually, this song... this song has a lot to do with you. No. It's called Movie Matinee. Well, I oiled up my jacket and I went to town. Drank my wine and I went to town. Was looking for a little bit of trouble in town. So I oiled up my jacket and I drank my wine. Down on the square I saw Preacher Tom. He was pointing out a sinner to the crowd gathered round. He had a sinner circled up, crowd gathered round. He had a Bible raised high, he was laying her low, calling her a liar, a thief, a drunk and a whore. Well, when I realized it was my sweet Caroline, I stepped to Preacher Tom and said, listen to me, she might be a drunk, but she ain't no whore. She might tell you a lie, but she steals no more. Well, Tom picked up a stone and said, sinner, prepare, I'm gonna strike the devil out of you. Oh, yeah, I was looking for a little bit of trouble in town. Trouble. This one's called Fire Along the Way. Okay. If there is a heaven, well, I know I ain't going right away. Oh, yeah, if there is a heaven, I'm sure to see some fire. Well, I'm sure to see some fire along the way. Well, they say the way into heaven, it is narrow for a man like me. And it's true, I always been so kind. So I'm sure to see some fire along the way. Mistakes than I ever can confess.
so I'm sure to see some fire along the way. Now if we meet in heaven, oh yeah, try not to act so surprised. Oh yeah, if we meet in heaven, please be kind to me, for you know I've seen some fire along the way.
Please, please, please clap for The Bachelor. That was the best possible way to end that set. Fucking beautiful. You were great, man.
Thanks.
You want to get real for a second or no?
Yeah.
Perfect. Good job.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate it.
You still have your eyebrows arched like you might hurt me physically.
It's a family trait, man. It's genetics. I can't help it. Nothing personal.
I know. To me, it sounded like you run a family train, which made me feel even more uncomfortable, everybody.
Wait,
speaking
what?
Of family trains, I want to thank Pete Bledel, comedy legend.
Funny guy.
Funny
Very
man.
Funny guy.
Pete Bledel. And, of course, I want to thank Jeff, our first guest of the night. Jeff was great. Pete was great. Joe, you were great.
Thanks, man.
Too many dudes on this show tonight. I'll try to change
exactly.
that. Real testosterone up here. Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Let's all tip the Looking Glass because they are fantastic people and they deserve to be able to pay rent. So everybody tip heavily. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful evening.